Hello, Adrian.
Yes, Jimmy. What is it? Pressure creates diamonds or something? I don't know about that in this case, but anyway, we'll do our best.
Yeah, exactly. It's all relative, right? We're not in the Ukraine at the moment, so pressure is all relative. Hey, mate, what's happening at the Newcastle Knights? This is a strange one with Dave Clemmer. There seems to be more to it.
Yeah, I think that there's, that the coach is very much under pressure, and I think that David Clemmer was perhaps a tad frustrated that the Knights wouldn't allow him to go to Parramatta on loan. Mm. We know that he wanted to go there just before the August 1 deadline. It would have been an opportunity for him to play some finals football. And all of a sudden, you know, does Adam O'Brien dine and ditch over David Clemmer? He's a guy who's on $800,000 next year. They obviously are at loggerheads. And look, even if they wanted to sack David Clemmer, and they clearly are going to sanction him, they've issued him with a breach notice, I don't think that that's a sackable offence. The fact that, you know, he didn't come off when the coach wanted him to, and he gave poor old trainer Hayden Knowles a bit of a spray. So, look, there's a lot of unrest there. You've got Kalyn Ponga, who's likely to be out for the remainder of the season. And, look, there's not a lot of happy people over there. You know, yesterday, Adam O'Brien admitted that he came across like an egomaniac in his post-match conference, you know, referencing the four grand finals that he was involved in. And poor old Peter Parra has had to come in and try to make sense of the mess. So,
yeah
they're a massive drama there in the Hunter.
Yeah. No, I don't think we've heard the end of it, mate. There's more going on there, it would seem. What's going on with this stadium war between Dominic Perrottet and Peter Volandis? Who's the win? And what does a win look like for the NRL? Is it four suburban stadiums upgraded or one superb 70,000-seat stadium at Homebush?
Well, at the moment, the NRL haven't got either. So right. This has been bubbling away for months, and normally the grand final tickets are on sale by now, but they're yet to be made available because we don't know where it's going to be played. And look, I know that Peter Volandis and the NRL have made lots of noises about taking the grand final away this year. My mail is that that won't happen, that it will go ahead at a core stadium for this year. And in doing so, the NRL will fulfil its contractual obligations. But beyond that, it's unclear what happens. So, you know, even today, Peter Volandis doubled down and he said a handshake with Dominic Perrottet doesn't mean a hell of a lot at the moment. So, you know, the Panthers have been looked after. They're, of course, sitting in Stuart Eyre's backyard where he has been the MP. But unfortunately, Manly, Tigers and Sharks are missing out. So this will all come to a head. We'll be hearing more about this one, Jimmy.
Does the Stuart Eyre's resignation today have any impact on this?
Impact on Panthers getting their stadium?
I would think Stuart would be a supporter of stadiums, knowing that Penrith were going to get one in his electorate. I don't know whether he'd be a supporter of... certainly he'd be against a grand final going to Brisbane or anywhere else. I think that can have an implication in this as well.
Yeah, and even today, Peter Volandis said that, you know, ultimately, the money that was used to upgrade the SFS, which I had a look at for the first time yesterday, probably wasn't money particularly well spent in hindsight, given that, you know, they could have either, as you said, had their whiz-bang stadium in Homebush or have even more money left over to prop up suburban grounds.
And yeah.
Again, you know, it depends on when you ask the question, Jimmy. You asked the NRL 5 or 6 years ago where they wanted to spend the money, and it was all about consolidating and getting into big stadia AFL style. And
yes,
all of a sudden it's, you know, all about suburban grounds and tribalism. And let's ask the question again in 5 or 10 years time when these stadiums are or aren't built, and, you know, hopefully the focus doesn't change.
Yeah, no, it's not as straightforward as I'll just copy what Melbourne did, because moving around this city is very different to moving around Melbourne, and that's one of the challenges. So here's the question around the new SFS, and you said you've been to it. I've seen, you know, the vision and all that. Looks spectacular, right? It's going to be great. When do they fill it up with 40,000? And conversely, will there ever be a State of Origin game there?
Well, this is that's the whole issue with that stadium for me, Jimmy. At a rank and file NRL game, you'll get somewhere between 10,000 and 15,000 on a good day, and it's not quite big enough to have those massive events, Matildas, rugby, World Cups, State of Origins. So why spend the money there?
Yeah.
I mean, it's done. Like as you said, it looks spectacular. It's done. You know, the resources have been allocated, but to me, you either spend all of that money on a big whiz-bang one in Homebush, or you do the suburban grounds, and yeah, that's neither here nor there for me.
I think what you call it now is a sunk cost, because you're not going to get it back on that one.
Well, it's good if you're good. It's good if you're the Roosters, but I don't know, and maybe for Sydney FC and a couple of the other sort of local tenants, but week to week, that doesn't stack up for me.
Just to let you know, too, there'll be over 40,000 for the first game. That's my prediction.
Yes, there will be.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that's spot on. And what a, you know, what a first game that'll be. And potentially one that could be deciding sort of spots in the finals, Jimmy. So
yes,
Roosters and South, we're doing a bit of an analysis on, you know, the best runs home. According to some stuff that we're looking at, those two could be jockeying for a final spot in the eight, depending on how it all plays out.
It's a massive last game of the season, undoubtedly. What do you think, Paddy Carrigan? 4 weeks seems light to me.
Well, look, it's light in lieu of, you know, the NRL cracking down on a tackle that the game doesn't want to see, but, you know, I think Nick Gabar, who's, you know, fast becoming the Harvey Specter of the NRL, made a really good case, and you can only go by comparables. And he couldn't use the Tyrell Fulimiano one that happened earlier this year because it happened in the off season. So the one you can only use one comparable, and the one that he used was involving Josh Maguire on Josh Adokar. And that was a much, much worse tackle than the one that injured Jackson Hastings. And unfortunately, to an extent, I think Carrigan is a victim of, you know, the damage that was caused to Jackson Hastings, and also the fact that the NRL is cracking down on this type of tackle. But if you actually look through the evidence and you look through those two comparables, the Josh Adokar one where he was the victim was much worse, the one that Josh Maguire put on him, where he was literally, he had another guy holding him up, a guy running in and sort of spearing into his legs, and it's a miracle that he didn't suffer further damage. So from that perspective, you know, I don't know, I can live with the 4 weeks.
Well, and from my point of view, I look at the Tyrell Fulimiano one and go, well, that's a lot less worse than the one that Patrick Carrigan did, and he got 5 weeks, so... Again,
but they're all great threes. Well, yeah. Well, those two were both great threes. Yeah.
And this one was referred.
So if Carrigan got a great three, you would have only done 2 weeks because he doesn't have all of the loadings, etc.
Yeah.
And priors.
Yeah. Again, we're struggling with what's happening with match review committee, judiciary, etc. Quickly, mate, Titans.
Well, and then you have Nelson. Yep.
Yeah, sorry, mate.
So I was going to say, and then you had Nelson Asofa Solomon get nothing. So, you know, it's a bit of a chocolate wheel, have a spin.
Flanagan S, Hunt B, linked to the Gold Coast Titans. Thoughts on that? Dragons fans will be, they'll be devastated if he leaves.
Apoplectic,
that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, well, interesting in that... Yes. Look, only recently I had a chat to Rebecca Frizzell about Justin Holbrook and just how safe he is. And she was adamant that he is safe. He's staying put for this year and that he'll be there for next year. If Flanagan was to come on board, from his perspective, he'd probably be thinking, well, if things don't improve for Justin Holbrook, I'm next in line. So I can understand that would have some appeal for him. And if you're Ben Hunt, I mean, you're talking about a choice between two under-pressure coaches, aren't you?
Yeah.
Whether it be Justin Holbrook versus Anthony Griffin. So, you know, there's still a question mark whether either of them will be there in 6 weeks or 6 months. But it's interesting for the Dragons in that Talatau Junior Amone is fairly close to re-signing. And Jaden Sullivan's obviously on the books and isn't getting a regular start in the half. So three don't go into two. So, look, very interesting as to, you know, how that plays out. Because I dare say one of them won't fit, and whoever does it probably won't want to be there long term.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment as well. The coaches might go, but Queensland will always be there, and that's what Benny Hunt can think about as well. Thank you, Adrian. Enjoy your weekend of footy, and we will speak next week.
Thanks, Jimmy. Cheers.
If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to tune in from midday, Monday to Thursday, till 3 p.m. on 1170 SEN.